Good morning and welcome. The Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks starts right here, right now on your Voice of Barbados. I'm your host, moderator Corey Lane, taking you until 2 p.m. this afternoon, backed by producer and technical operator Dennis DJ Johnson. Now, today is the third day of March 2020, and it is good to be here in the chair and on the air to speak to the issues of the day affecting us here in Barbados. So I want to line up those on the outside who would have heard the preview, and those who haven't, that today we are looking at, for the first hour of the program, 10 until 11 o'clock, we'll be joined by a representative from the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security, the Chief Agriculture Officer, Ms. Kaylee Holder. She is going to be with us for that first hour. And we're looking at specifically the ministry's program and an action plan as it relates to the control of the monkey population in Barbados. Now, for years and in recent times particularly, we've had lots of calls, lots of messages about the monkey and the destruction they've been causing, the nuisance, the attacks, and the list goes on. So today we're exclusively looking at the whole issue of the monkey population in Barbados and its threat to our agriculture, and also the methods we may need to protect, etc. So without any further ado, I would like to say good morning and welcome to Chief Agriculture Officer Kaylee Holder. Good morning and welcome.
Morning, Corey. Thanks so much for inviting me. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm doing quite well. Okay. So today we want to talk about monkeys. The Ministry of Agriculture is very concerned. We have heard the cries of the general public. We are well aware of the challenges that farmers have been having as it relates to monkeys. As a former farmer myself, I also have had challenges dealing with monkeys over the years. So I am well aware of the challenges that are out there. And we wanted to be able to address it, particularly in this forum, given the large outcry that we've been hearing about monkeys recently. Now, of course, we are well aware that you see more wildlife since or during the lockdown periods. We've seen that across the world, and it's no different here. But we know even before that we've had a monkey problem. So I kind of wanted to touch on a number of things. First of all, what are the governance issues in terms of what's governing the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Security and being able to provide support and help the farmers with this issue? And then we want to talk about what's the science that's going on behind this. So first of all, we have the Plant Protection Act, which defines a pest as any species, strain, or biotype of any plant or animal or pathogenic agent that will be injurious to a plant or plant product. So the crop raiding that has been going on with regard to monkeys, the destruction and the loss of crops, monkeys are definitely defined according to our Plant Protection Act as a pest. But the Ministry of Agriculture is also governed. We also are responsible for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Act, okay? And cruelty doesn't only obtain to human abuse or causing unnecessary suffering, but also cruelty in terms of hunger. So similarly, where we have our SPCA program, where you can call them and they can capture and remove stray dogs from a population because they don't have food and they're causing destruction, we have to look at cruelty above and beyond just abuse of an animal. So this all falls under our remit. But, you know, the Ministry of Agriculture, we don't work in a vacuum. We work together with the Ministry of Environment and National Beautification. And there are also some governance laws that rule how they operate. So we've got the Biodiversity-Related Multilateral Environmental Agreement, Conventions on Biological Diversity, as well as what we call the CITES Act, the Convention on International Trade of Endangered Species of Wild Flora and Fauna. And the African green monkey is listed as an Appendix 2 species. So what that means is that Barbados is obligated to ensuring that we manage this population sustainably. So having said that, what's the science behind what is going on? Everyone is saying we're seeing this explosion in the monkey population. What is really going on? So let's look at the science. We got three colliding factors here. You've got an animal, a monkey, that has no natural control for the population here. They came to Barbados, what, 400 years ago. They're not native. They're natural predators, leopards, eagles, pythons, and baboons. They're not here. Okay? So there's nothing to control them other than humans. Then we've got another big problem. In the last 50 years, what we have seen is a threefold decrease in the actual habitat that the monkeys have for feeding. So in the 1960s, we had about 54,000 acres of arable land. According to reports from 2017, Town Planning, we now have less than 28,000 acres of arable land, and we're losing about 400 acres per year. And then where monkeys used to feed on sugar cane, we've had a decline in cane production. And so there's even less food available to monkeys, about a third less food that would be available. And then we've got this third factor. And also in the last 50 years, what we have seen is that the amount of forest or woodland that we have in Barbados has increased by 7.5 times. So whereas in 1964, we had about 2% of land that was woodland, by 2015, FAO is saying basically we got about 15% of our land in forest. So they now have a larger amount of space to hide. And with the land that is not being actively involved in agriculture, you're getting this secondary woodland being developed. And so monkeys now have opportunities to traverse through these areas and go into their woodland areas. So they have a lot more hiding spaces, a lot less food, and a population that doesn't have any natural predators. So what does this all mean? I mean, it's pretty simple. With no natural way to keep our population in balance, less food to eat, more places to hide out, the population really is just too big for its habitat. And the only real solution is that we need a human intervention to keep the population in check. Because, and the thing about it is that any overpopulation of any species is actually going to disrupt our natural ecosystem. And so there's a need to make sure that we correct it. That is part of the stewardship as human beings. We are required to help our maintain balance within the ecosystem. I mean, given the fact that we already have a huge footprint on it, we also need to ensure that the other organisms in the ecosystem, there is as much balance as possible. So I think having said that, there are a lot of sides to the story, but it's really clear that the monkey population needs to be brought under control given the colliding factors that we now have. And the Ministry of Agriculture is immediately looking to put some measures in place to start doing that.
You know, you can't end there. You end at the sweetest point. What is the plan? And I'm just reminded here by my chat with all the different ideas that have been thrown out there. I want to throw some at you and try to get to see where some of them may dovetail with what the ministry has in mind. We want to hear the specifics of the action plan, okay? That's what we're here for this morning.
Yes.
Some people are talking about sound. Recently, someone mentioned a gunshot sound, and the producer at the time and then moderator later, he pointed out aptly so that, you know, you have to consider other people in the neighborhood. So you may scare off the monkeys, but you may be disturbing the elderly or people that just want peace and quiet in the neighborhood. One of the other things is all the tricks you hear about, the molasses, you put a snake, a picture of this, a picture of that. Culling is one, you know, upping the bounty on the tails, that's one being described. Sterilizing them, making sure they're not as fertile as before. Catching them and shipping them overseas for people who want to do the experiments and the testing and so on. Encouraging a market of meat. So if you start to eat the monkey, so then it gets a predator in the humans for the meat. The other thing is to grow, people are saying, and encourage farmers to grow more food in the boundary so the monkeys can have some and then they can have some. So those are some of the seven ideas that have been thrown out just here in the last 10 minutes that we've been speaking that remind me of the discussion that's been going on for years. So out of those or completely outside of those, what's the ministry's plan?
Well, okay. So those are seven and they're a lot more than that. But first of all, let's break down how we want to look at managing the monkeys. Monkeys are primates, just like humans. Anything that you can think of that would control a human being and all the ways that human beings can find to avert detection, get into places they're not supposed to, chances are a monkey will be able to do the same things. So there's not going to be a one size fits all. There's not going to be a one solution. There's going to be a combination of solutions because remember our intention is about coexistence and creating harmony within our ecosystem. It's not about eradication. So having said that, we want to approach it two ways. We want to look at a set of things that farmers, homeowners can do to deter monkeys. Okay. Keep them in their habitat as opposed to them coming into human settlements. And just what you talked about, there are a number of best practices. And incidentally, I'd like to alert the public here that last year, a best practices in green monkey deterrence manual for farmers was prepared in collaboration with the Ministry of Environment. And it is available free for download to any person who wants it. And that lists a large amount of various activities that farmers have done, have used successfully, including the ones that you spoke about. And of course, it will be dependent on your location. So if you live in a rural area where you're not close to someone, then yes, you may be able to use the song without disturbing somebody else. If you live close to residents, you may want to consider using, say, for example, a deer repellent, or you may want to consider using an electric fence. You may want to consider using the newspaper, which works quite well for a lot of people. And also, you may want to consider a combination of things because you may start using one thing and it works well for a while. And then after a while, the monkey realizes, I could get around this, you know. So you've got to have a combination of actual deterrence and not just this is one deterrent and we're going to stop there. And I think farmers can understand this because similarly, when we have to deal with insect pests and disease, there's not a simple, this is one solution. Mm-hmm. We have a set of integrated pest management strategies. We know at certain times of the year, certain things will work better than others. Mm-hmm. We may know that there are certain insect pests that cause problems on particular crops at particular times. So we've got to adjust to that. And likewise, the farmers will have to have a set of solutions and not just one solution to deal with it. So that's the first part of it. There are a combination of deterrents that we would want to look at. And the monkey manual, it lists, I think there may be over from having people guarding, dogs guarding, enclosures, row covers, tree nets, fruit covers for bags, solar powered fence chargers. You've got excluder fencing, living fences, caution tape, pennant banners. We have a Conway monkey repellent. Solar-powered ultrasonic devices. We've got propane scare cannons. We can use pepper spray, neem by spraying it on the product, on the produce. Scent deterrents, chicken manure works well until the scent goes away. Even using the sargassum has been effective. You've got motion sensing as well as predator images and alarm calls. So they list about 50 different deterrents.
So it isn't a specific plan, is a kind of like a shopping list of different things you can do, and you can pick out the one that fits your budget, your environment, and so on. That's what I'm picking up. One that had me there is the caution tape. I that one lost me. What does the caution tape do?
I think sometimes
sorry.
The caution tape is not they will see it and they're able then to, you know, it's something that's going to be unusual. And so it can be a visual determinant when you stretch it across. If it doesn't touch the ground, sometimes it looks weird to them. And so something that they're unfamiliar with, they might think maybe that is electric fence, you know, if they've had to go across a field with livestock and have encountered electric fence or something like that. So it may keep them away from a while. Eventually you have probably a monkey that's brave enough to try it and then it goes away. But something as simple as that often can work at least for a short period of time. And perhaps that's all the farmer needs to get his product harvested. So those are deterrents at the individual level, but at the national level, we still have to deal with the issue of removing a certain amount of monkeys from the population annually.
You just jumped where it was going, because I recognize that the 11 that I was able to pick out from your list, none of them speak to actually getting rid of any monkeys. And I was saying that is kind of addressing the other side of the issue, because as you can appreciate in the WhatsApp, we are seeing, oh, leave the monkeys, I'm sympathetic to the monkeys, I love the monkeys, don't trouble the monkeys, and those types of messages. So they have the other side of the issue. Okay. These people who, can call them monkey huggers if you wish, but these people who really want to protect the monkeys. And this is the other side of your plan, where at the national level, you're going on to show us how we're going to actually control, not eradicate. And you were very specific to point that out, so I'm underscoring that. But to reduce the population. So go on and tell us how you plan to do this.
Okay, so before I do that, this is why I talked about the issue of cruelty. If you say that you love me and you allow me to live in a situation where I am seriously hungry, then is that love? If you say that you love me and you can't allow then a population of monkeys that you say that you love to overgrow to the extent that then they could become harmful, more harmful to each other because they're fighting more over food. They can become harmful to other people. You've had a situation in Malaysia where a monkey picked up a baby and dropped it off of a roof. Do you want it to cause that kind of harm because it doesn't have enough food to eat and now it becomes more aggressive as a result of that? We have to look at, when we say we love these animals, we have to also make sure that we understand what it means to care for them. When we feed monkeys and we stop them from doing what they normally do in foraging for food, and now we give them a food source that we may not be able to sustain, are we helping monkeys, which are wild animals that are not accustomed to being domesticated as say a dog or a cat may be? We have to be very clear when we talk about these things, because these things can be cruel. In our attempt to be what we think kind to an animal, when it is a wild animal, we're disrupting the way in which that it lives. And so we have to think about this, not just in, oh, don't remove the monkey from the population, but you're then impacting on the entire population if you don't have methods in which to control it. Now, look at what is the cause, first of all, to food and nutrition security, not just the price today, but what is tomorrow's expense. It's not just running our farmers out of business, and some of our best farmers too. It's also saying to investors that we have an unsolvable problem, and that is driving investment away from the sector at a time when COVID-19 is showing us that our food supply is not adequate. It's showing us the need for food and nutrition security. When we look at the fact that because of our intellect, mankind, we can cultivate our own foods and educate our population not to damage and steal from other people. We can encourage and educate on birth control. When our population is getting too large, we're coming up solutions. We can't do that for monkeys. So when we say that we care about these animals, then it is important for us to show that we care by making sure that they have a comfortable habitat, given the fact that we live here, they live here, and we need to find a balance with that. And so it is not necessarily a comfortable discussion to have, but it's a realistic discussion that we must have. When we say that we care about these animals, then we must make sure that their home is adequate for them, the food that they have is adequate for them, that the way in which that they live in their natural habitat is adequate and suitable for them, and that they don't have the situation where they're encroaching on human settlements as what we're seeing now. So I'm saying all that to say that when we want to talk about control now, control is about, we have to have some other considerations now in here. So we know that we need to control it, but we don't want to remove a large portion of the population in such a way that it creates an imbalance, that it will lead to a situation where the population can't survive. So if we had to remove all the males, that would be a problem, or all the females, this would be a problem. We want to maintain the structure of old to young monkeys, because they have their own family structures which need to be maintained for their troop to continue. And so we need to be mindful of how we go ahead doing that, even as we understand that we need to remove monkeys from the population. So let me give you some figures. In 1980, a study was pretty much done on the monkeys population. In 1994, we did another study on it, and the estimates at the time have been that we had about 15,000 monkeys on the island. Now, data on monkey populations tell us that they tend to grow a mean population growth rate annually of about 12%. So between the Barbados Wildlife Reserve, they remove about 1,000 monkeys annually, and they've got more than 350 trapping sites around the island in which that they do that, because we're trying to at least keep the population stable. We also have, as you know, a bounty program where farmers or others are responsible for also removing a small portion of the population. But generally, that has tended to keep the population in check, because we are ensuring that the amount that we're removing is roughly what they are, the population increase that you would see annually. And so this has kept the population fairly stable, we believe. We have not done a study since 1994, but we've done a survey. A survey was done around 2010, which indicated that perhaps the population is still around the same size. But we are seeing some things that are unusual. So where you would typically see a troop of about 15 monkeys, the troop size is now double. Whereas in the video in King Garden, I think it was, you're seeing a troop of about 30 monkeys. And their natural habitat, monkeys can actually have troop sizes in Africa of around 50, maybe even as high as 70. So we're seeing these larger troop sizes. We need to control them. And so the approach has been twofold, and largely focused. And what we want to focus on immediately and going forward is to increase the trapping that we are seeing right now with the monkeys. So that we are doing right now with the monkeys. So we have the Ministry of Agriculture, the Ministry of Environment and Natural Beautification. We met along with the Barbados Wildlife Reserve. The Barbados Wildlife Reserve has agreed to increase the trapping by about 50% this year. And this is going to be the start of reducing the monkey population. And we're going a step further, because what we want to do in the short term is by next week. My permanent secretary has told me that we should have a monkey hotline set up, a WhatsApp hotline set up, where persons can call in or message into us their location, and the size of the troop that they're seeing, so that we can start deploying more traps to the areas which are having a heaviest impact with the monkeys. I understand from Wildlife Reserve, they've also increased the amount of traps that they have So we are looking to increase that. We've had discussions with, preliminary discussions with the farming associations to discuss whether or not they would be interested in providing some assistance in building more traps so that we can have more traps around. And we are also discussing with the Wildlife Reserve, looking at how we are going to train perhaps farmers or other interested persons in trapping monkeys so that we have more trappers available to address the issue. Because the whole reason for doing this is to have a humane way in which we handle the removal of monkeys from the areas that are being most affected.
Okay, it's just gone 26 minutes after 10. We're going to take a break here and come back. When we come back, Keely, a number of persons, they want the download app link if you have our address. We're going to give that out. We have lots of messages that have come into the studio and the calls are lined up. So we're going to hear from those on the outside, the public. They will get the opportunity to interact with the Chief Agriculture Officer on this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Stats.